Gracious Father, we thank You so much for tonight, for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, tonight we pray that the same Holy Spirit that led the men of old to write the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit that led Daniel to write the book of Daniel, the Holy Spirit that led John to write the book of Revelation, we pray that Holy Spirit will help us to understand tonight. Bless us because we ask it and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mr. 666, question mark. Take your Bibles, go with me to the book of Revelation and chapter 1. I want you to see why this subject is so very, very important. Revelation chapter 1, write it down. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Notice what Revelation says about Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Now don't miss what the Bible is saying. Blessed are they that read, hear, and follow the book of Revelation. Now friends, there are people telling us today that you cannot understand this book, especially the book of Revelation. There are people who are saying you shouldn't study the book of Revelation because it is a closed book. Friends, that's not true. These books are open and God wants us to understand. Amen? He wants us to understand what these prophecies are all about. I want to be blessed. Amen? Do you want to be blessed? He says, "Blessed are they that read, hear, and follow the book of Revelation." So it's not closed, but an open book. Now here's some of the things we're going to learn in these meetings. I jotted some of these down. Who is the Antichrist? What does the term Antichrist mean? Is the Antichrist here today? What does blasphemy mean? Because the Bible says he'll speak blasphemy. How will he change God's Word? The Bible says he would attempt to change the Word of God. How religious will he be? What kind of mark will he force us to take? These are some of the questions we are going to answer in our meetings this weekend, or this week also, as we go into the Bible. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 7 tonight. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 13. But I want you to understand that this thing is so serious and so important because in the book of Revelation, let's do it right now. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. The book of Revelation chapter 13. And look at Revelation 13 and verse 8. Notice how all of us are involved in this thing. Revelation 13 and verse 8. The second word in this verse is, "and all." Now, how many is all? That's everybody, right? "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Two groups, those that worship the Antichrist and those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Same chapter, look at verse 16, Revelation 13, verse 16. "He calleth all," here's that word again, "both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." Now the Bible tells us here that people are going to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now I've done a study over the last few years to find out what this mark is. And here's what I did. I went from the book of Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, went all the way through to Revelation, trying to find what the mark of the beast is. And I couldn't find a verse that just came right out and identified this mark. Because there's all kinds of books written about this. Some people believe that it's a code number. Some people believe that it's this and that. It's going to be a literal number on the hands and on the forehead. There's all kinds of teachings on this. But I prayed, "Lord, help me to find out from Your Word alone, not what man says, but what the Bible says about this mark." Studied, restudied, prayed. But then God revealed something to me. For every truth found in this book, the devil has a what? A counterfeit. That's right. So I decided, let's go into the Bible and let's find out what God's mark is. So if we can find out what God's mark is, then we can find out what the Antichrist mark is. Take your Bibles, look at God's mark. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 22 and look here at verse 4. Revelation 22, verse 4. And they shall see His face, talking about the face of God. And His name shall be in their what? Foreheads. Notice something. It says that God's name shall be in our foreheads. Where does the Antichrist place the mark of the beast? In the hand or in the forehead? Ah. Now what we've got to do is this. We've got to go into the book, find out what God's mark is, because the Antichrist mark will be the counterfeit, just the opposite of what God's mark is. Amen? Take your Bibles. I want you to write down some of these verses. Write them down. I went in the Bible and found these verses. In Revelation 3:12, Revelation 3:12, this is what it says. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. And it says, I will write upon him the name of my God. Revelation 22:4, we just read. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Jeremiah 23:6 says this, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. What is God's name? The Lord our righteousness. Placed in the forehead, don't miss it. What is right here? Your mind, your thinking, your mental lobe. This is the part that brings in beliefs and understanding and thinking. So God's name is the Lord our righteousness. To be saved, I must accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. Another verse. Psalm 119, verse 172. Psalm 119, 172 says this, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And then I found this one. Exodus 13 and verse 9. And it says, it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, your forehead, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. What is God's name? Revelation 19 says, this is his name, the Word of God. Wait a minute. What is God's mark? It's his Word when he places it in our minds. So what is the Antichrist's mark? Just the opposite. When the Antichrist attempts to change this book and people follow a man instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we're going to look at that tonight. Take your Bibles, go with me to Daniel and chapter 7. I want you to see something. Here in Daniel chapter 7, God gives us clue after clue to who this man is with the number 666. We're going to put them all together tonight. The book of Daniel chapter 7. What's the big issue? The big issue is this. Who are we going to follow? Man or God? The Bible says we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen? Daniel 7, look at it. Daniel 7 beginning with verse 1. Here is a prophecy that gives identifying points to who the man is with the number 666. Beginning with Daniel 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and he told the sum of the matters. Now I want you to see the setting here. Here's Daniel, that man of God, and he has a dream. And the dreams mean so much to him, and he wants to know what it all means. But look what verse 2 says of Daniel 7. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, does that sound like Greek to you? It does, doesn't it? What is he saying? Daniel says, I saw the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, in the Bible, things have meanings. As it says here upon the great sea, in Revelation 17:15, the Bible says that the sea or waters represents nations, tongues, and people. So Daniel sees a lot of people. What does the winds represent? In the Bible, the winds represent bloodshed, strife, and war. That's in Jeremiah chapter 25. So what Daniel is seeing is he sees a lot of people, and he sees bloodshed. He sees terrible things happening. And then he says this, next verse, verse 3. Four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now here's that part I was telling you about, that lady who said she had to move away because she saw those four great beasts coming up out of the water. What does the water represent? Revelation 17:15. The water represents nations, tongues, and people. But what do the four beasts represent? Look at Daniel. Hold your finger here on Daniel 7:3 and look at Daniel 7 verse 23. And notice how the Bible explains itself. Friends, that's the one thing you've got to do with this book. You have to stay with the book, not what man says, but what the book says. Amen? And the book will explain itself. The Holy Spirit that led the men of old to write this book, that same Holy Spirit will lead us to understand this book. So in Daniel 7:23, look what he says about the beast. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth what? Kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth, shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now don't miss the point. If the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom, then what are the first three beasts? Come on. The first three kingdoms. It makes sense, you see. Fourth beast, the fourth kingdom. The first three beasts, the first three kingdoms. Back to Daniel 7, verse 4. Daniel 7, verse 4. The first beast was a lion, and he had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, made stand upon the feet as of a man, and a man's heart was given to it. The first beast that comes up out of the sea is a lion with eagle's wings. Sometimes you look at these animals and you wonder, why did God use animals like this? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 50, the lion, the first kingdom, represents Babylon. You see, Babylon ruled the world from 605 or 606 B.C. all the way down to 539 B.C. Now, you're probably asking the question, why talk about kingdoms that were on the earth so many years ago? Well, you're going to see something here in Daniel. In the book of Daniel and Revelation, you find something in one chapter, and then another chapter, God gives you a little more information. Then in another chapter, He gives you a little more. And you get into Revelation, He gives you more. So you have to study these two books, the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. You have to study them together. And that's what we're doing in our seminar here. But let's look at it. He says the lion would be the first beast. Babylon ruled the world from 605, 606 down to 539 B.C. Look at verse 5. Daniel 7, verse 5. And behold, a second beast. Here's that second one. Like to a bear. Now let's do something that you should never do. And that is go outside of the Bible. All right? To explain the Bible, you should never go outside of the Bible. You should stay with the Word, amen? But we're going to do something. We're going to go outside the Bible, just for a couple minutes here. If I didn't get into the Bible, and I read a verse and it says a bear comes up out of the sea, which kingdom, which country would I say that the bear was? Russia, that's right. I mean, that's what everybody says. We'll call it, why? Because Russia has a bear as its symbol for its country. Don't miss it. We've got to stay with the Word, amen? Listen to what it says. In the book of Isaiah chapter 13, verses 17 through 19, the Bible says the bear, the second kingdom, would be the Medes and the Persians. You see, the Medes and the Persians in 539 B.C. came down, destroyed Babylon, and the Medes and the Persians ruled the world from 539 all the way down to 331 B.C. Now, let's go on. We're going to come back to these a little later on and look at them in more detail. But look at verse 6. We've got a third beast. Daniel 7, verse 6. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. A four-headed leopard. In Daniel 8, verse 21, the Bible says that the third kingdom would be the Grecian Empire, led by Alexander the Great. Friends, according to history, the Grecian Empire came down, destroyed the Medes and the Persians, and Greece ruled the world from 331 all the way down to 168 B.C. Well, that's all in the past. By the way, let me tell you something about Alexander the Great. He was a great conqueror, could rule the world, but he died a drunkard at the age of 33. Conquer the world, but could not conquer self. There's only one that can conquer mankind and conquer self, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. But wait a minute, we got another beast here. Daniel 7, look at verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. Tell him, come on over, we're still in a meeting. And he says here, after this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast. According to verse 23, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. According to history, Babylon ruled the world, Medo-Persia ruled the world, Greece ruled the world, and who came in and conquered Greece? It was the Roman Empire that came down, destroyed the Grecian Empire, and Rome ruled the world, my friends, from 168 B.C. all the way down to 476 A.D. Who was in power when Jesus was born in Bethlehem? It was the Roman Empire, right? King Herod tried to kill the Christ child. You know the story, the Christmas story. And here he is, this great power ruling the known world. But something happened in 476 A.D. Look at the verse. Verse 7 again. After this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces. It stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had what? 10 horns. Now here's what's amazing. This was written before it happened. But I want you to notice something here. He said he had 10 horns. Rome in 476 A.D., Rome was divided into the 10 kingdoms of Western Europe. Just like the Bible said. Now here's what's amazing about this. This was written before it happened, but it happened just like God said. You know what that means? That means that this book that I hold in my hand is not just another book. This is the Word of God. From the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. The reason I'm a Christian today is because of Bible prophecy. I'm a believer that this is the Word of God, and it has all the answers that we need are right here in this book. Amen? But don't miss the point. 476 A.D., Rome is divided. Look at the next verse, verse 8 of Daniel 7. I considered the horns. Now we're going to bring it down to our time, all right? I don't want you to think we're just studying old history. We're going to study some new history. Verse 8, I considered the horns, the 10 horns, the divided nations of Europe. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, which becomes the man of sin, the Antichrist. We'll share that with you later. before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Don't miss it. The Bible says here that a little horn would arise. This little horn would come up, destroy three horns. He would have eyes like the eyes of a man. And it says he would speak great things. Revelation 13 says he will speak blasphemy. What is blasphemy? Well, John 10:33, Luke 5:21 says that blasphemy is when somebody claims the place of God. You see, in John 10:33 and Luke 5:21, Jesus was accused of speaking blasphemy. You know why? Because he claimed to be God. And he had the right, amen, because he is God. So they said, you're speaking blasphemy. So blasphemy is when a man claims the place of God. And that is exactly what the Antichrist will attempt to do. He will claim the place of God. And here's what's amazing. The world, not everybody, but just about everybody, will accept it. Now that's hard to believe, isn't it? That mankind would accept a man in the place of God? Look at verse 8, Daniel 7. He gives us some clues about the Antichrist. Listen to it. I considered the horns. Behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. He's going to battle. He's going to do some war. And behold, in this man, or in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man. A man is involved, and he speaks great things. Same chapter, look at verse 21. Notice what he does. Daniel 7, verse 21, I beheld in the same horn made war with the what? With the saints, and prevailed against them. Now, what is a saint? Somebody says, well, a saint is somebody that has died and gone on to heaven, and then some great miracle has taken place because someone prayed to that saint. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, write it down, Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. A saint is somebody who is alive and living for Jesus. But don't miss the verse in Daniel 7:21. The Antichrist makes war with the saints. What does that mean? That means the Antichrist will persecute the true Christians. Same chapter, Daniel 7, look at verse 25. Here are some more clues. Listen to this. Daniel 7, 25. He shall speak great words against the Most High. Revelation, as I already mentioned, says he speaks blasphemy. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High. We've already mentioned that. He's going to persecute God's people. Still in Daniel 7, 25, look what else he does. He thinks to change times and laws. Now wait a minute. The Bible says he would attempt to change times and laws. Let me ask you a question. Does any man have any right to change any part of this book? Not at all. The Bible says he's going to attempt to do that. He would attempt. Here's the thing. You cannot change the Word of God. That's why the Bible says he would attempt or think to do it. And then it adds these words, verse 25, they shall be given into his hand unto a time, that's 1 year, times, that's 2 years, and the dividing of time, that's half a year. Prophetically speaking, 3 1/2 years. And when you're dealing with prophecy, one day equals a year. which actually comes out to 1260. You'll get that in your paper. I'm not going to go into detail on that tonight. But he's going to reign for a certain amount of time. And then something happens. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. I want you to see how these two books go together. Revelation chapter 13. I want you to see something here. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The Bible says he's going to reign for a certain amount of time, then he's going to receive a deadly wound, and the wound will be healed. And once it's healed, it says the world wonders after the beast. Now, something happened a few years ago. Some of you are not old enough to remember this, but it's when Reagan was president of the United States. Remember when President Reagan walked out of that building with his sidekicks and his guys with him, and all of a sudden somebody started shooting? Remember that? And Reagan was shot. If Reagan had been shot in the head and survived, the world would have thought that he was the Antichrist. I'll tell you what. Reagan has three names. Ronald, Wilson, Reagan. Each name has six letters. Ronald, Wilson, Reagan. 666. There's only a slight problem. He doesn't fit all the identifying points. Amen. But if that had happened, that's what the world would have thought. Look what else it says. Verse 3 says, I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed. All the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. What does the dragon represent in the Bible? Come on. That's right, Satan. Do you have a verse for that? Revelation 12, verse 9 says that. Revelation 12, 9 says, the dragon was the serpent, was the devil. So, the Bible says here, that the serpent, or as it says here, the dragon, the devil is the one that gave the Antichrist his power, seat, and authority. Now don't miss this. The devil is not the Antichrist, as so many have said. The devil is the one that gives him his power, his seat, and his great authority, as it says here in Revelation 13. Look what else he does. Verse 8, Revelation 13, 8. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It has something to do with worship because it says they will worship the Antichrist. Look at verse 18, Revelation 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a machine. What? Well, let me read it again. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a card. Let me try again. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is your social security number. Oh, let's stay with the Word, amen? It's not what I say, but it's what the Bible says. Listen to it. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. That is 666. You know, I was visiting this family some months ago. And they invited me to come to their home. And I noticed that when they gave me their address, that the address was 666. And so when I got to the home and knocked on the door, they let me in. Here they had all their stuff. They were bagging it up. They were putting their stuff in their suitcase. And they said, we're moving out of this place. And I said, what's wrong? I said, we got the number. It's on the door. 666. Listen, friend, the number is only icing on the cake. Is added material so we can identify the man with the number 666. And we're going to do that in our study this week as we study. Somebody sent me this. You know, computers are a wonderful machine. Some people believe the computers are the Antichrist too. Did you know that? But anyway, computers are good if they're used rightly. And so somebody had got a computer and gone through all these numbers and tried to calculate this and that, and they sent this to me, and they've identified the man of sin, the Antichrist. And according to them, it is Henry Kissinger. There's a slight problem with that, and the problem is he does not fit all the identifying points. Then I got this one. Oh, this one came to me from someone. 666 is here, and it says if you've got a Sears credit card, then you've got it. Well, man, I don't have a Sears credit card, so I felt okay with that one, you know. No bother. Then this one here came, and this one here says, notice, very important, 666 is here. If you've got a Visa card, you've got it. They were getting close to home now. And I got my Visa card out, and I got my magnifying glass out, and I started looking on my card. I turned it upside down. I put it up again, up by the mirror so I could see if anything might come back at me from the mirror, you know. And I couldn't find the number 666 on it. But what if I had? Wouldn't mean a thing, would it? Let me tell you what happened in our little town. We live over close to Clemson University now. And some months ago, and it may have been over a year ago, it was either Buy Low or one of those grocery stores over there came out with this special little card thing, and you could get a discount on groceries. And they sent these all over the community to all the people in our little town. And for some reason, the card they sent out had the number 666 on it. And I mean, there was an uproar. They said, we've got it. If we take this card to Buy Lowe's or whichever grocery store it was, we've got it. And it was such a stir in our little town that they, Buy Lowe's or whichever grocery store had to issue a new card without the number 666 on it. And then everybody felt pretty good, and that's where they go buy their groceries. But listen, friend, I want to tell you something. It has nothing to do with it. The Bible says the number 666 is the number of a man, not a card, not a machine. Do you know that somebody wrote a book some time ago and they said the Antichrist was the machine over in Belgium? How many have heard about that? Friends, listen to me. Let's stay with the Bible. And then I got this one. This one's very interesting. Oh, the mark is worldwide, it says. It's now on all packaged food items. Animals are being lasered with it. People will be next. It's the barcode. Come on now, this is what they're saying. If you go out and buy any groceries at all, and if it's got a bar, and I want to tell you something, there's a barcode on everything. Did you know that? So we've all got it if this is the case. Don't miss the point. It's possible that some of that stuff may be used. But the devil is sneaky. He wants to get the heat off of the man. Because the Bible says it's the number of a what? A man. Not a machine, not a card, not that great big old computer, but it's a man. And his number is 666. Somebody says, why? President of the United States, or some great evangelist, or the machine, or Social Security card, or World Council of Churches, CIA, or FBI, labor unions, PLO, Secretary of State. Friends, let me say this. Every human being should be concerned because all are involved in this thing. But what does it all mean? Let me take you to the screen and share with you a few slides tonight that will help us to understand this subject. In the book of Daniel, we've got those four beasts. A lion, a bear, a four-headed leopard, a nondescript beast with 10 horns. But then you've got another beast over here, a buffalo, found in Revelation 13. And what's interesting is that buffalo, the Bible says, he comes up out of the earth. Don't miss it. All the other beasts come up out of the sea. Now we'll identify that buffalo later on. But we've already identified the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the nondescript beast with the 10 horns. The lion represents Babylon that ruled the world. The bear represents the Medes and the Persians. The four-headed leopard represents the Grecian Empire. And then that nondescriptive beast represents the Roman Empire, the ten horns, Rome divided. The Bible makes that very clear. But then we want to identify the little horn that comes up in the midst of the ten. So here's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to give you all the information you need to do your homework. And then tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, we're going to go into more detail. And then the following night, right on through this week, to understand this subject. Here are the identifying points, all found in the book of Daniel and in Revelation. Let me quickly go through them again. He arises out of the fourth beast, comes up among the ten horns. This is found in Daniel 7. After the ten horns, he's different from the other horns. He has a look more stout than his fellows, his eyes like the eyes of a man with a man at the head. He uproots three kingdoms. He speaks blasphemy. He claims the place of God. He will wear out the saints of the Most High, persecute God's people. He will think to change times and laws, and he will reign for a certain amount of time. Here's the verse. He speaks great words against the Most High. He wears out the saints. He thinks to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand unto a time, and the dividing of time. Revelation 13, 18, another clue, it says here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a, let's say it again, man, not a machine, not a card. His number is 666. Then in Revelation chapter 17, the Bible says there is a woman riding upon a scarlet colored beast, and she is involved with the Antichrist, the man with the number 666. We're going to see how that comes out a little later in our meetings. Then in Daniel chapter 2, this is just a preview. In a few nights, we're going into Daniel chapter 2. One of the greatest prophecies in the Bible. King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, has a dream. In his dream, he sees this image. Head of gold, chest of silver, thigh of brass, legs of iron, feet, part of iron and part of clay, and then he sees a rock cut out of the mountains without hands that comes down and smotes the image. Now, what we've got in Daniel 2 is this. It's the same story as Daniel 7. The only thing is Daniel 7 that we studied tonight gives you more information to understand this. So in Daniel 2, the head of gold represents Babylon, the chest of silver, Medo-Persia, the thigh of brass, Greece, the legs of iron, Rome, and the ten toes, Rome divided. We are now living, don't miss this, we are living right here in the 2 feet right before Jesus comes back. Now, friends, don't miss tomorrow night, because tomorrow night, and tomorrow morning, same subject, we're going into the Bible, and we're going to see how this is about to happen. Amazing predictions proving that Jesus is coming back very, very soon. So here we are, right before Jesus comes back. Now, there are so many different teachings on the coming of Jesus, and I don't get into debates on that. And I'm going to be talking tomorrow about the second coming. We're going to be talking about the rapture coming up this weekend. And all of that's important that we understand it clearly. But what I do want you to understand tonight is something that is so crucial. You see, I have been taught that nobody will know who the Antichrist is because we won't be here. And many of you have been taught this same thing. Some of the people who used to teach that are changing their mind about it now. And the reason they're changing their mind about it is because listen to what God says. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says this, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," what day? Verse 1 and 2, it's talking about the coming of Jesus. It says, "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be," what's the word? "Revealed." Friend, the word "revealed" means revealed. He's going to be revealed before Jesus comes back. And the Bible says this. He will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He is going to claim the place of God, and he is going to go so far as he will attempt to sit right in the temple of God. I'm going to speak on that one night about the Antichrist and the subject of Jerusalem. One of the very last signs to take place before Jesus burst the eastern sky. Friends, we're living in the closing moments of Earth's history, but the point I don't want you to miss tonight is that he's going to be revealed. By this time next weekend, we are going into the Bible and we will identify a man, a name. We will tell you who it is, not because I say it, but because the Bible makes it very clear. And here's what's amazing. All the identifying points found in the Bible points to one man and one man only in the Word of God. We're going to find out who it is. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Amen. You look at the prophecy, you look at the signs, you look at what's taking place in this old world. Some religions are teaching the world's going to be a better place as time goes on. Friends, I want to tell you, if that's the case, then it's going to have to do a lot of changing real quick. It's not getting any better. But the only way we can be ready for Jesus coming is we've got to know the man Jesus. The one who died on the cross. There's only one way to be ready. There's only one way to reject the Antichrist, and we must know Jesus as our personal Savior. I can stand up here tonight and I can study all the prophecies of the Bible. And if I don't tell you about Jesus Christ, then I haven't spoken at all. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the answer. But don't miss the point. Jesus, he's not on the cross. The tomb is empty. Amen? He is resurrected. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back again. But before he comes, listen to it, Romans 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Don't miss it. One of the identifying points, remember, one of the identifying points is the Antichrist would attempt to change this book. Which means if I follow what man says instead of what God says, that I become a servant to man. But if I follow Jesus Christ, then I become a servant to Jesus Christ. And that's okay. That's okay. Because that's the way it should be. Amen. I must be willing to serve and follow my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for he is the answer. Joshua 24:15. Some of you have this probably in your home on some little plaque on the wall. I've been to people's homes on the front door and they've got it right on the front door. Joshua 24:15. And the last part of this verse is what I want you to notice. But as for me and my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. How many here tonight want to be ready when Jesus comes? Would you raise your hand? How many here tonight want to say, I want to serve Jesus? Friends, we're on the verge of the kingdom. Jesus is coming back. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. And we'll have to make a decision. We either follow man or we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Jesus tonight not only be our Savior, but also our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your holy word. We thank You for the information, Father, in the Bible. We've learned a lot tonight. We've gone into a heavy prophecy in the book of Daniel. Tomorrow we'll go into another prophecy. We'll look at the amazing predictions. We'll look at all the signs that are taking place, showing and proving that we are on the verge of the kingdom, the coming of Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us to be students of Your word. Help us to spend time in prayer. Help us to come to the cross of Calvary and to receive Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Save us tonight, Father, not in our sins, but from our sins. Because we ask it and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.